The book of Daniel, chapter number 9. So I'm looking at the 9th chapter, and I'm interested in the 9th verse. If you'll stand with me just for a moment. Daniel 9:9. The Bible says, "To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses." Notice that phrase, forgivenesses, plural. "Though we have rebelled against him." To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. And so I'm interested tonight in the forgivenesses of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your manifold forgiveness, and Lord, your multiple forgivenesses. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to try to develop this now in the hearing of these people. And Lord, would you again, Lord, bless your people and help us and speak to every heart. Give us exactly what we need for this hour. For it's in Christ's name that we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. In the book of Daniel, right in the middle of the vision section of Daniel, Daniel breaks into a prayer. Of course, it's in your Bible. It was inspired. It's a prayer that, it's one of the great prayers, I said that way, recorded in your Bible. And if you look at it, it's mostly a prayer, a confession that Daniel prays. He deals with confession. He deals with supplication. He deals with intercession. And even though Daniel in your Bible is one of the most spotless characters, now think about what I'm just fixing to say. I think about Joseph. Joseph stands out as being a spotless character. I mean, as the patriarchs, okay? I think about Samuel. Well, you can't get much on Samuel. His boys didn't turn out much, but you can't get much on Samuel. I like Samuel. I like Samuel in the Old Testament. Samuel's he's a real type of Christ. But if you get right down to it and you look at Daniel's life, who can put a charge against Daniel in anything that he ever said or did? I'm talking about the boy knew God. There's no doubt about it. He served God from his youth till the day he died, as far as we know. And yet, Daniel, as strong a character and as strong a testimony as he has, he associates himself as a sinner with his people. He says, we did it, we did it, we did it. Do you understand that even that is a picture and type of Christ? Christ was the sinless Son of God. And yet, he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I was reading after one fella. He said the entire prayer of Daniel deserves to be ranked with the finest of psalms. I'd say amen to that. If you study, there are many great prayers, but it's interesting that in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and all of these they're very close to one another chronologically. And so, not how they are in your Bible, but chronologically how they occurred. Ezra 9 contains a prayer of confession, a great prayer of confession. Nehemiah 9 contains a great prayer of confession. And Daniel 9 contains a great prayer of confession. Now, Daniel would be the first one, chronologically speaking, but possibly the prayer of Daniel led to the activities of Ezra and the rebuilding of the temple, and the activities of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the wall. And so, all of these prayers are a very deep, earnest confession of sin. And that's something that seems to be missing from our culture. Even when people apologize, they say, if I've wronged you. Well, if you've wronged, why you apologize? If you don't know if you have or not, why you apologize? No, it's not if, it's I did. And I'm sorry for it. But you can't get nobody on nothing. You can't get nobody to own anything. It's not my fault. It's the psychologist's fault. It's the way I was raised. It was my mama's fault. It was societal pressures. It wasn't me that did it. You go to court and listen to what's going on and the defenses that are being levied. Poor old criminal, instead of being put in jail, we ought to be buying them a new car or something. You know, I mean, if you hear the defense lawyer paint the picture, I mean, they're just a victim of their circumstances. And can I say that's true with all of us? We're sinners. We're victims of our circumstance, aren't we? We're sinners. And the reason people sin is because we're sinners. Amen? And that's the bottom line. We are sinners, and because we are sinners, we commit sins. Well, I want you to look at this tonight, and I want you to see some things as we move. We'll comb through this a couple of times, okay? So we'll be looking at some verses, maybe a couple of times, different verses. But I'm interested when you begin to look what Daniel says in Daniel chapter number 9. I want you to look in verse number 5. We might have sinned. Is that what yours says? And what mine says. That must be one of them new versions. Mine don't say we might have. Mine says we have sinned. Now look what he says. We have sinned. And then he says, and have committed iniquity. And then he says, and have done wickedly. And then he says, and have rebelled. And then he says, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, rebelled. These are progressive words. One fellow said it this way. Old Barnes, when I was reading him, he said, basically, they'd sinned every way you could sin. There wasn't no way to put it. I mean, there wasn't no covering it up. They had sinned every way a man can sin. They had sinned. They had pretty well done everything the wrong way. And they had sinned every way. And there was a progression to it. I want you to pick back up and let's look down in verse number 10. Let's see how all this started. So he tells it, lays it out. We have sinned. Boom. We have sinned. Then he's going to go back and he's going to highlight how they got to where they are. And can I tell you, most people don't just sin, boom, and fall down and sin. It can happen. But if you'll study biblical characters, if you'll study people in the Bible who fail to sin, it's because there was a pattern. And because they transgressed a little here, transgressed a little there, got a little cold, and then, okay, rarely, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but rarely, at least biblically, can I find a man who was, I mean, on fire, full of God, doing everything the right way, and the next thing he's in the middle of sin. It's usually not that way. There is usually a progression. And I believe you can see it. Look in verse number 10. The scripture says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord, Jehovah, our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. So how did it start, preacher? Well, they have a wicked testimony. Now remember where we are. They're in Babylon. They've been carried away. Daniel's in Babylon along with the Hebrew children. They're all suffering the penalty of sin. And how did they get there? Well, started out, the scripture says, Israel, first they disobeyed the Lord. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws. Look in verse number 11. The Bible says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing. See that? Even by departing. So Israel first disobeyed the Lord. Secondly, in verse number 11, they departed from the Lord. And the scripture says, therefore the curse is poured out upon us. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us. Verse number 13. He says, as it's written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Was there an opportunity to do that? Of course there was. But Daniel said, we disregarded the truth. We disregarded the law. We disregarded the Lord ultimately. They first disobeyed the Lord, then they departed from the Lord, and then they finally disregarded the Lord. And it's all come upon them, and they didn't even pray. They didn't even repent themselves when it was all happening. Isn't it interesting? You would think when times get hard and things get bad, people are going to be beating the doors off of church trying to get in. You'd think that, wouldn't you? That ain't the way it was. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Cuss the government, cuss this, cuss that, cuss something out, but they don't understand. They don't understand that this is a judgment sign upon a nation, and they don't get it. Can I tell you, if you've been to the grocery store this week, when you check out, you think judgment. Judgment upon your pocketbook. Everybody said that, the dollar is America's God. Well, they ain't going to have many of their gods left, I'm going to say that. $5 and something for a quart of Welch's grape juice. $5 and something. And they were out. They've been out for weeks, but when they brought it back, it's not quite double what it was. You could get it with a bonus card. I think it was $2.98, and it's now over $5. I haven't bought any of the expensive ones, but they tell me that eggs are going to go out the moon. We lost, I forgot how many million eggs from the egg factory that burned, and chickens and all the rest. It's going to take a long time for that to come back, to the point that the price of eggs and anything that contains eggs is going to be astronomical. Astronomical. We crossed $5 for gasoline. They said $6 is on the horizon. I mean, almost everybody's betting on $6 now. And that's not far off. You already pay $6 for diesel, but I'm talking about gasoline for your automobile. Did you know that we are one of the lower areas right now? The national average is at $5. I filled up yesterday for $4.49 and thought I got a bargain at $4.49. Did you know that they're changing the pumps? That some of the major national retailers are changing their pumps because the pumps only have one digit to the left of the decimal, and the most they can charge for a gallon of gasoline is $9.99. That's all it'll charge. And therefore, they're going to have to change the pumps out because they're betting it's going to go $10. And you say, well, preacher, it'll never happen. Well, it's 15 in Israel last week. Bill Dillon said he paid $300 for 20 gallons put in a rental car. My brother-in-law was bidding a job in Germany. And I said, how much is it? He said, $7. And I said, well, that's not that bad. He said, that's per liter. Multiply that by 3.79. That's how much a gallon is. You're talking $25 a gallon in Germany. That's the current. That's what it costs right now. $10 gasoline? Yeah. I mean, it's real. And people say, well, you know, it's the politics. It's this, it's that. Let me tell you something. I believe it's the judgment of God upon a land. Amen? I believe it's the judgment of God upon a nation. I really do. And the bad part of it is, I think we helped vote it in. Or did we? Wicked testimony. Wicked testimony. But then he says something about wasted testimony. Wasted testimony. Look at what he says in verse number 12. He's going to tell us about some things that have happened. We talked about some things that were committed, some things that took place, disobedience, departure, have departed, the scripture says, disregarded. Now he's going to go in and tell us some details. Verse number 12 of Daniel chapter number 9, the capital of Israel has experienced destruction. The Bible says, and he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. God judged their capital with destruction. And it was because of what we said a while ago, first of all, their disobedience. Look in verse number 7. We said before that it was because of their departure, and the word is used. Well, look what the Bible says in verse number 7. The people of Israel, not only just the capital of Israel, experienced destruction, but the people of Israel experienced dispersion. They have been dispersed. O Lord, verse 7, chapter 9, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Confusion of faces. As at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. And he goes on in verse number 8 to elaborate. And he said, the confusion of faces to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. So, what happened? Because of their disobedience that we mentioned in verse number 10, we have the capital destroyed in verse number 12. What we mentioned about departure in verse number 11. Well, look what happens concerning the departure. Look what happens. The people experienced dispersion in verse number 7. We said something about disregarding the law of the Lord in verse number 13. Well, look what happens as a result of disregarding the Lord in Daniel chapter number 9, number 16. He says, O Lord, according to all righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become what? A reproach to all that are about us. You know what he said? A reproach. He said, the capital has been destroyed. The people have been dispersed, and the nation has been disgraced. And we're ashamed to show our faces. We don't even want to be identified to who we are. We're trying to blend in because we don't even want people to know we're Jews. We're ashamed, we're embarrassed, we're disgraced. That's what he says. So we see a wicked testimony. We see a wasted testimony. But can I tell you, in the midst of it all, God always has a way. You know, it's amazing to me. God's judging man. And they've sinned. They're far apart from God and they know it. They're walking at a guilty distance and they know it. But in the midst of that judgment, God judged the serpent. Now, Eve's the only woman on earth. And he said, the seed of the woman will bruise thy head. What about that? In the midst of judgment, he's judging the serpent, and yet he gives a glimmer of hope from the seed of the woman. Isn't that something? Isn't that just like the Lord? He does that. He does it well. Why does he do that, preacher? Because of his mercies and forgivenesses. Amen. Forgiveness. I just like saying that. Forgivenesses. My autocorrect wouldn't have recognized that word. And so all day in my word processor, it's been underlined in red because it was misspelled. So you know what I did? I went up under my underline thing and I changed the underline color to red and I just went ahead and permanently did it. I've underlined the word forgiveness is in red in my text. Because my spell check kept a doing it and I thought, hallelujah, that's a red letter word. That needs to be underlined right there. That's a red letter word. Forgiveness is happy day. And so there is the wicked testimony of Israel. And they had sinned and committed iniquity and done wickedly and rebelled according to chapter 5. Or verse 5 of chapter 9. And then there is the wasted testimony. The capital has been destroyed. The people have been dispersed. The nation has been disgraced because of the things that they've done. Their disobedience, their departure, their disregard. But then can I say in the midst of it all, there is a wonderful testimony. A wonderful testimony. Daniel 9:4. And this is the start of the prayer. And Daniel says, I prayed unto the Lord my God. Notice the phrase, Lord my God, the covenant-keeping name of the God of Israel. Jehovah my Elohim, the creative God. He says, and made my confession and said, notice this, he didn't call him Jehovah, he called him, O Lord Adonai. So there's the three names of God right there. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Boy, there's a glimmer of hope. Look in verse number 9. Here's our text. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness is, though we have rebelled against him. Look in verse number 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Look in verse number 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee, for our righteousness is, there's that word found in the plural, righteousness is. But he's not saying we've got righteousness is. He said we're not praying our prayer for our righteousness is, but he says, but rather, but for thy great mercies. People, I mean, I hear some people praying. It sounds like they're good enough. I mean, they're good enough for God to accept them, you know. But then you get to thinking that, friend, you're in real trouble. If you think God answered your prayer because of your righteousness, you're in real trouble. You're in a mess. It's for thy great mercies, Daniel said. Daniel 9:19, look at it again. Hear, O Lord, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. I like that. Hear, forgive, hearken, and do, defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So in the midst of all the wickedness and in the midst of all the waste, hallelujah, the scripture tells us and brings us to a wonderful testimony of forgivenesses. I've been chewing on that one. I thought about forgivenesses. Forgivenesses. You know, there's a difference between not telling the truth and commit murder. Is that right? There is. The consequences are different. You know, you can write a lie, you can confess to it. You can't unkill somebody. And yet, it took the blood of Christ to forgive either one of those things. And so, think about the variety. The word forgiveness is the variety of sins that that deals with. From something simple to something, I mean, super simple to super sinful. And everything in between. But then, think about the volume of sins. Now, pretty sure that when Paul preached the gospel and young Timothy got saved, the Christ saved him. He was raised in a Jewish home. His dad was Gentile. His mom was Jewish. Looked like he raised pretty strict. His grandmother was pretty strong in faith. Chances are when God saved Timothy, he was a sinner like many of us, like all of us, but probably hadn't been out in much. He's still probably a pretty young man and probably was kept pretty close in. And so when you look at the sin debt of young Timothy, but now let's go across the waters of the Galilee and let's land on the shores of Gadarene. Let's talk about Legion. Let's talk about his sin debt. What was his sin debt? Oh, man. I mean, just the demons in him alone. The reason we call him Legion is because he said that we are many, many. So let's take the scale and let's put the sins of Legion on one side. Let's take the scale and put the sins of young Timothy on the other side. And there will be a vast difference in the volume of sin. But it took the same blood to save Timothy as it took to save the Gadarenian demoniac. Forgiveness is. You go with that? Think about the value of his forgiveness. You think about the woman who, you think about the little widow and the widow's mite that Christ called note to. She gave the least denomination that there was, but the thing about it is that's all she had. So if you look at it percentage-wise, she gave 100%. 100%. Is that right? On the other hand, the Pharisees, they were tithing of herbs. Give a tithe of mint and cumin. They were tithing little tiny amounts of things. Being ridiculous, pretty much, is what they were doing. It was just show. It was ridiculous. But when you think about that little lady gave it all, when you think about the woman with the alabaster box, said it was worth 300 pennyworth. A penny was a day's wages. How many work days are in a year? If for 52 weeks... If there are 52 weeks in a year, 52 weeks in a year, you take the Sabbath off. If she works 6 days a week, are you doing the math on that? And the Jewish calendar was not 365, it's 360. So are you done the math on that? She'd worked, it would be all but 8 days. She'd give everything she'd made, she'd kept 8 days worth. And she'd give all the rest. All the rest. 308 days, if I'm doing the math right, is how many work days there'd have been. But then you got to count the holidays, the holy days. So you got to do that. But understand what I'm trying to say. That the value of his forgiveness. That little widow woman recognized the value. She gave everything she had. And that woman with the alabaster box, she give not a penny. I mean, she give not a farthing. She give a year's wages. And the Lord said this. He said that he that is forgiven much loveth much. The value of his forgivenesses. Old Gadarene demoniac, he wanted to go on the road. He wanted to go with him. He wanted to travel with him. Now for some, he said, follow me, follow me, follow me. And they did follow him. And so the demoniac said, I'm ready to go. I want to follow you. And the Lord said, you stay right here. Why? You ever wonder why that was? Everybody around there knew the old boy. And he had the scars to prove it. But now you get out of Decapolis there, ain't nobody knew about him. And you could tell what he used to do, and he could get up and testify to what he used to do. But you could say anything. Traveling road show, traveling freak show, you could say anything. See, all these scars, I got this because of this, and I had these demons, and I had all this stuff. And friend, he didn't have to tell nobody nothing. He just had to walk into town. Everybody in there knew what had happened. He had been set free. I'm talking about the value of his forgiveness is. You understand what I'm saying? There's a vast difference in the but it's, hey, it's all. How much did he forgive? He forgave 100%. Amen? Completely, entirely. Think about let me share something with you here. It's a broad subject, and I've tried to narrow it down some. But did you know that it is the Lord's desire to forgive? Now that's not what we paint. The picture is that God's in heaven with a big old sledgehammer waiting to bop you on the head if you get out of line. Is that not what people tell you? That's what people say. The fact of the matter is that's not what God says at all. Micah chapter 7, verse number 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Somebody ought to run right there. Just, he delighteth in mercy. Oh, happy day. He delighteth in mercy. It pleases the Lord to show mercy. It does. It pleases him. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is, it speaks of the desire of the Lord God to forgive. He delighteth in mercies. He does. But you need to understand, the only way you'll ever get mercy, confess it and forsake it. You cover it up, he'll uncover it. He's too righteous, he's too holy. He can't do it that way. He can't just, you know, he can't do that. His righteousness, his holiness won't allow that. But just as sure as you confess it, and just as sure as you forsake it, if you will uncover it by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, he'll cover it over again. But you first gotta uncover it. A while back, I went to the doctor. I had a sore place on my foot, being diabetic. Boy, you got to watch your feet. But we got to take care of your feet. A preacher friend of mine, apparently, because of the timing of it, apparently he had gotten a new shirt for Father's Day. And had straight pins in it. And he had dropped one. And he, because he had neuropathy in his feet, it were numb, He stepped on a straight pin, and it went plumb up in his foot. Well, the next time I saw him, I visited him in the hospital. They had that foot elevated, and his foot is about that big around and swelled and red, looked like a, I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. And they were giving him IV antibiotics, and they were doing all this stuff to it. They didn't know what was wrong with his foot, man. I mean, his foot about to rot off. They didn't know what was wrong with it. The amazing part of it was that there was no puncture. There was no puncture. And said one day there was a PA come in there. And she put on a set of gloves, and she said, "Will you allow me to do this?" And she began to feel around on it. Well, his feet are numb, so he really can't tell what she's doing. And apparently she come to a place that looked suspicious, and she took her thumbs and she shared down on it. When she did, that thing burst, and that pin shot across the room, and the awfulest wad of corruption you've ever seen come out of that thing. That pin had actually gone up in there, and it had healed over, look seemingly, but there was corruption in it. I had it happen a while back. Matter of fact, I got the bill for it just the other day. And it was for surgery. And I thought, when have I had surgery? And what it was when they got in my foot, my wife had dug it and dug it and dug it. She couldn't get it. And she tried and tried and tried. I said, "There's something in my foot. I don't know what it is, but there's something in my foot." And what I'd done is somehow I'd got a splinter in my boot, and because I hadn't been barefoot, and I'd got it and just worked up in my foot. So I had a splinter up in the ball of my foot. Well, I had to go to the doctor anyway, so I said, "Would you look at my foot?" So she started looking at it. She went and got a table and prep thing and tweezers and one thing and another, and dug around in there. And she said, I don't think there's anything in there." And I said, "Well, I know there's something in there." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Here's why. It'll heal over, but it don't ever quit hurting." And I said, "If it's healed on the inside, it'll quit hurting, won't it?" She said, "That's right." She said, "If it's still quick and it still hurts when you step on it a certain way," when I was barefoot, most of the night's the only time I'd notice it. If I was barefoot, I'd step, and I'd think it just like I'd stepped on a tack or something. Oh, it hurt. She got in there and went to digging. Boy, I tell you, I gripped my teeth. I wanted a silver bullet to bite on or something. I mean, it really got to, you know, it really got tough. And she kept a digging, and I kept a grunting, you know. I was rearing my back up off the table, and she just kept a digging. My wife, you know, she would, but that doctor, she's bound to get it. She is. And in a minute, here she come out with it. Least little old splinter you've ever seen. And I said, "How could something that small hurt that bad and cause me not just a day or two, and I'm talking about it probably 2 months I fool with that thing." Understand what I'm talking about. The only way that thing would ever be healed was if you got to get the splinter out before it could ever heal from the inside out. Oh, it scabbed over. It healed completely over. You couldn't even see it. My wife broke the skin numerous times only to find pus and corruption in there, even though it was healed. But on the inside, it was still infected. Can I tell you, there are people, they think they got it covered. They think that they've got everything fixed up and it's healed over and ain't nobody ever going to find out. Yeah, but that pain, it causes you on the inside. The only way you'll ever get that fixed is to get it out in the open. I'm talking about before God, to get it fixed, to get it out. It's the desire of the Lord to forgive. The Bible says He delighteth in mercy. Can I say it's the determination of the Lord to forgive? Romans chapter number 5, verse number 20 bears record. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But the Scripture says," Paul told the church at Rome, "but where sin abounded," hallelujah, "grace did much more abound." Happy day. God's determined to forgive. He's determined to forgive. And then I think about the depths of the Lord's forgiveness. forgiveness is. I think about what Isaiah said. Most of us know the verses on both sides of this. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while ye are near, while he is near. We know that verse, Isaiah 55, 6. We know the one in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We know that. But you know what? Those verses is sandwiched. Those are the bread. You know what the meat is in the middle? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not as your thoughts, neither are your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What are you saying, preacher? I want to say hallelujah. You don't go too deep for God to forgive you, amen? You don't go too deep in sin. You don't. The depths of the Lord's forgiveness. Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Verse number 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and for thy people are called by thy name. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the Lord, hallelujah, he forgives abundantly. There's the wicked testimony of Israel. There's the wasted testimony of Israel. But there's the wonderful testimony of the God of Israel. Amen. Of the God of Israel. I said something Sunday morning, and apparently it caused a little ruffle. Let me tell you something. I don't have a better problem pointing out that purity still of the Lord. And anything shy of that, sin. Don't care what you call it. Don't care how you name it. Don't care what you do. It's sin. It's wicked. It's wicked. And I was meditating on that. And I thought about what Paul told the Corinthian church. He was sharing with them some of the things that they had been into. My soul in the morning. You ever read that list? I mean, that's a rough list. The things that they had been up to and the things that they had been into, if he hadn't have said it, I'm glad he said it, because I'd have questioned it. Amen? But he said it, and it's above question. It's above because the Lord said it, and the Lord allowed it to be said. But you know the difference was? He said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Oh, happy day. I was talking about virginity for both parties. I was talking about a white wedding dress meaning something. I was talking about the white runner meaning something. Having some strength to it, having some meaning to it. I think it made some people nervous. But I got news for you. It's still in the book. Still in the book. And I thought about it today. You know, the way I said it, I may have not have given any hope for people that saw that ship has sailed. And it's too late. But you know what I thought about? I thought about there are virgins from conception, from the time they were conceived. But then I thought about those Corinthians. They were virgins from conversion. He had a whole list of things that they had done, as wicked as could be. But he said, but ye are washed. And then he said, ye are sanctified. What does that mean? Sanctified, that means set apart, saved for the Lord, for His glory. Can I tell you, hallelujah, if you've missed, you may not can get that first one back, but you sure can hang on to that second one. You can be righteous from conversion, hallelujah. You can be pure from conversion. You ought to be pure from conception, from the time you was conceived. But if you wasn't, it ain't the end of the road, praise God. You can be, oh, hallelujah. You can be saved, sanctified, sealed with the sweet Spirit of God from the day you got saved. You draw a line in the sand. You said, that's the old man. That's the old nature. That's the old, and from that day to this, by the grace of God. Say, preacher, how can you do that? Because His mercies and because of His forgivenesses. Amen.